Welcome back, everyone. We're approaching that 100th episode, and Steve and I got something pretty special planned. But this is episode, I believe, 98. And Steve and I wanted to make sure we talk with you guys. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well. Got to shoot a match today, so that's always fun. Little eight stager over at Ruskin, although I'm dipping my toes back into the rimfire pistol iron division, and remembering all the challenges I had when I shot it the first time 3 years ago.
Yeah, now you're quickly remembering why you don't shoot it anymore,
Yes.
huh?
Let's just say that that front sight is not a red dot.
Yeah,
Just because you
that's
see
true.
it doesn't mean it's there. So, oh yeah, I'm just working out all the challenges there. Been doing a lot of training. The training classes. I'm 4 days a week now doing the training, which is great. Got a lot of wonderful students supporting that venture and helping them. I had one of my students who last night. His name is Seth James. I think prior to last night, his PB on roundabout was like a 10-3, and he pulled off an 8-6, and it was,
Whoa, smoking.
yeah, and it wasn't, it was an 8-6 with like focus. It wasn't just like four lucky runs. And I think today, because he shot our Ruskin match as well, and I think after today, he's going to rank up at an A.
Awesome.
So he's pretty excited about that, and I'm excited for him. And just been prepping everybody. I've got a number of students that are going to Worlds. Of course, I'm going to Worlds. You're going to Worlds. How many guns are you shooting at Worlds, Steve?
I'm shooting three this year, Jeff. I'm going to shoot
Three.
one Friday, one Saturday, one Sunday.
Yep. You're starting to adapt the old man mode. I'm
Yeah.
shooting four. And it's one on Thursday, one on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
So yeah, I remember the days when I used to shoot two a session, and then that didn't work out. So then it went to a one a session, and this year I've got the opportunity. I'm just going to do one a day.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know who I think has shot one a day for quite a long time is Trenton.
Oh yeah.
I'd have to ask him when I see him at Worlds, but I'm pretty sure he's been shooting one a day for a while. So I'm not sure how many he's shooting this year, but hope to see he and his dad and everybody else who listens. I hope to see you at Worlds. Make sure you come up to Steve and I and say hey. And if you like the podcast, shake my hand. And if you don't, punch me in the shoulder.
I was about to say, give you the finger. I mean,
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where that
Yep,
was going,
and yes, everyone, I do know that Steve has a home range. You do not have to remind me. I'm well aware. In fact, you were on your range today, weren't you? You were working on a gun. I remember us talking. You had a problem with one, didn't you?
Yeah, so, AR-22 had started on Outer Limits this past weekend at the Alabama State match, and I had some issues, and I don't know, man, it was frustrating. I thought I had it figured out. I thought it was some magazine stuff. I thought it was this. I thought it was that. And long story real short, it felt like there was a little bit of a drag on the bolt, so I was like, eh, okay. So when I got back home, not Sunday, but on Monday night, I took the gun apart and I said, you know what? Let me see if I can fix this. And so I polished the bolt and I actually polished the hammer. And so a couple days later, I don't know if it was Wednesday, I started shooting it, probably put 200 rounds through it. It was fine, but I still noticed the drag. And then I had a couple of malfunctions. And then tonight, I took the whole gun apart, and it's really tough with like an AR style gun to troubleshoot it, because you can't, like, it's tough to set the bolt on top of the lower without having the upper. Long story short, what it ended up being is the type of aftermarket trigger that I put in the gun, the hammer was dragging on the bolt. So when the hammer is cocked, it's kind of looks like it's three quarters of the way cocked. And what was happening is the top of the hammer, it had kind of like a 30 degree like chamfer on the hammer. And the best I can think is that the top of the hammer was still dragging on the bolt. There's on the back of the JP bolt, there's a cutout window. So I think that's where it was getting caught. So got out my gunsmithing tools, my Dremel. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't use
I
a
was going to
Dremel,
ask,
but
you know, I'm not a gunsmith, so I was going to ask you, you know, what tool did you use? It sounds like you might have taken off some material on the hammer. Is that correct?
yeah, so what I did is I actually left the trigger in the gun and I held it to a grinder or grinding stone, and then just took a little bit off at a time and contoured it and then polished it, took it out to the range, shot 300 rounds through it, and now it moves as easy as it should move. So problem solved, but that's been an issue that's been plaguing me. I thought for sure it was the magazines. I was talking to some other folks. They recommend shooting the nylon feed lips, Black Dog magazines, but I've got all the steel or the metal feed lips, and now it's running like a demon. So I can't wait to get a couple thousand rounds through here in the next couple weeks and make sure that we got it taken care of. But I'm 99.999% sure that I got it taken care of. But man,
And
it's like
what was the issue you were experiencing? Was it a failure to fire or a failure to eject?
It was a failure to eject. It would actually eject the casing, but it would keep it right in that chamber area, and so it would you'd have a spent case that got kicked around in there, and then it would try to feed a live round in there. So when you went in, while you're shooting under the clock, you saw something in the in the chamber. You'll pull back on the charging handle, you'd see it looked like it was two rounds. It's actually one round in the spent case. So that was the symptom. But just another reason why you got to be a gunsmith to shoot this sport, because it wasn't an easy problem to find. But
So let me ask you this. So you believe that the with the dragging, it was slowing down the bolt enough not to have the correct I'm assuming it was traveling as far as it needed to go. It just wasn't traveling necessarily as fast as it needed to go.
That's exactly right. That's
Okay.
exactly right.
So I mean, it's an interesting thing because, you know, we all that shoot 22, you know, blame the ammo, blame the mags. You know, I had a situation Friday when I was doing a little of my practice, and the gun I was shooting, my rimfire pistol iron gun, was had been running great. Admittedly, probably ran, I don't know, 300, 400 rounds through it. Hadn't cleaned it yet, and had three mags with a failure to fire in each mag. And generally, I tend to, you know, the first thing I tend to think of is something's wrong with a rebound spring. And so, right there at the range, you know, laid down a towel, took the bolt apart, looked at that, looked fine, and then realized, bolt face is a little dirty. Barrel face was a little dirty. Just kind of cleaned them all up. Nothing, you know, just, you know, range cleanup. I mean, I didn't have any hoppies. I think I grabbed like a alcohol swab and just kind of wiped it out and did my best there. Ran at the rest of practice, another probably 100 rounds, ran fine. Came home, gave it a good cleaning Saturday, and then shot it today and did not have a single problem. And so, you know, in my case, I blame me for not keeping the gun as clean. In fact, today, just as an extra precaution, after four stages, I went to a safe table and, you know, basically did the same thing. Took the bolt out, wiped the bolt face, got my finger in there, wiped off the barrel face, just got any of that built up carbon, you know. I don't know about you, I have a dental pick that is beautiful for scraping the carbon from underneath the extractor. And did that, and you know, if that's what I have to do to make sure the gun runs 100%, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm glad you solved your problem. It is so frustrating when your equipment doesn't run.
Yeah, in the other back to the troubleshooting stuff, I mean, I've got three JP22s. So I tried different bolts and combinations and uppers and here and there, and that's where I was able to isolate it to the one lower, which of course had a different trigger. And I love the trigger because it's a really, really light trigger. But yeah, it's man, you take the screw all the way back out on that thing. I think it's like 1.3 pounds or something like that. I can't run it that light because yeah, you think about pushing the trigger and or pulling the trigger and it goes up. I run it right, maybe 1.6, 1.7 pounds, and
Good
so I like
stiff
that
breeze
aspect of
sets
it.
off your trigger.
Yeah, exactly. But
Well,
yeah,
since we're talking, go ahead, finish your
no,
thought.
I was just gonna say it's interesting. A lot of the troubleshooting stuff. I was working with somebody that we both know, won't mention names, that ended up with the 1022 platform, went through every permutation combination, and where we last left it after doing all this troubleshooting, we believe it's a variance in the they got a bad lot of ammo. So similar type situation where wouldn't eject, wouldn't eject, and then yeah, having some light strikes, it wasn't putting it all the way back in battery and those types of things. So yeah, it's interesting. I think I've threatened this a couple times to do a kind of a troubleshooting guide. But where we first started was there was a barrel that actually the liner had moved back out of it. So that was one issue. Then yeah, it's just one thing after another. But yeah, you do this long enough, you come across some of these issues, and quickly you can identify them. This one I'll be able to knock out because I've seen it before. I thought for sure there was some junk in the chamber, and I reamed it, and it's just a lot of steps to make sure that it's run the way that it should. So
Well, here
anyway.
I got one for you. And this was at the match today. And I've seen this happen. This has happened to me, and I've seen it happen to other people. So they're shooting a trigger, and it's one of the higher performance triggers. This is a rimfire pistol optic gun. And they kept getting what they thought were failure to fires.
Yeah.
So I listened to them afterwards, and what they were saying was that they were letting their finger off the trigger and pulling the trigger, and nothing happened. And then they let their finger off the trigger again, and then it would shoot.
Ooh.
It turned out to be, and I always get it wrong, it's either the pre-travel, the over-travel screw, whatever, which one's that, the one that's in the top of the trigger.
So that's actually the pre-travel. So with the Volkswagen triggers as well as the Tandem Cross triggers, both of them, you have to set those, and you need the Loctite or put a little nail polish on it.
That's
At the Alabama State match this past weekend, somebody that I know said, "Hey, this is what's happening," and it's actually a pretty dangerous situation from my experience. Is that you're kind of wiggling the gun, and you kind of let it off, and then once in a while it actually will go, and you just need to make sure that you keep everything pointed in a safe direction. But if you have that situation, even when you install, I can't tell you how many Volkswagen and Tandem Cross triggers I've done in the last year, but even when you install it and you get it to the point where it just resets when you dry fire, you need to back it out probably another quarter of a turn for whatever reason. I'm not sure why. I'm sure there's an engineer listening to this that will know. But sometimes, even if you get it right to that wall where it will reset in dry fire, it doesn't reset all the time in live fire. So I always back them out about a quarter or a third of a turn, and then put some 242 Loctite on it. Nothing
Well,
too crazy.
that's what we ended up doing. We backed it off enough to make sure that trigger was resetting. And I kind of surmised it right away. And my classic way is to go over to a safe table, rack the gun, pull the trigger. Okay, it went off. Rack the gun again. Now let off the trigger, let off the trigger until you feel that reset, and then see how much extra travel. And there was like literally no travel. So they were right at that wall.
Yeah. The
And
other,
I mean,
go
I'll
ahead.
be honest with you. Based on my trigger control, I took mine out.
Oh, is
Yeah,
that
it doesn't matter. I am not good enough to have my it, during a course of fire to be thinking about moving my finger that minutely that you know that it's going to make a difference. My finger is, I don't want to say it's necessarily coming off the trigger, but I don't have enough skill to have that perfect motion in my trigger finger. So I just back mine out and I never have a reset problem.
The other tip that I have, if somebody's trying to set their trigger like this for the first time, when you do the when you let off the trigger to find the to make sure that it resets, also make sure that you pull the trigger, rack the bolt with your trigger still on the or your finger still on the trigger, let the bolt go, and then make sure that it resets when you let your finger off the trigger.
Well,
Because
that was the test. That
sometimes,
was the test that we did. Yeah.
Yep. You
So
got to make
yeah.
sure it works that
So
way as well.
yeah. It you know. Listen, we all want to blame the ammo, and we all want to blame the mags, but you know, in my case, it was a dirty gun. In this case, okay, it was the gun, but it was probably not Loctited, and you know, stuff happens. And like you say, you've got to be willing to sit back and troubleshoot it. And if you have the skills, yeah, like you do, you were able to fix it. Otherwise, I've got an issue with an open gun right now that's in with the third gunsmith who has finally diagnosed the problem. It's my single stack open gun. And the, I forget what it is, what the part's called. It's on the ring that's on the barrel. For catching the
Oh.
the pin that goes through. You know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about? Anyways,
I think they call it a lug or something
the
like
lug,
that.
yes, the lug. The area around the lug is not properly shaped because it's been repaired or something. So he's got to get a tool and do a little finessing on that, and it's basically causing the barrel not to drive back straight every time, and that's causing the ejection problems because it was running great and then it had a problem, and so hopefully that's going to solve it and I'll be able to shoot that at Worlds. Otherwise I'll just grab my 320 and shoot that and open. What the hell.
Nothing wrong with that.
Was
Nothing
a
wrong with
it's
that.
that's a that's going to be a very there's a lot of people in that division in the senior that can shoot very, very well in open. And so it's going to be a highly contested division, and it's going to be fun to shoot in it. I'm looking forward to Worlds. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be great to see people. Yeah, it's going to be great to see a lot of folks. This past weekend, like I was mentioning, right where we're going to shoot the World Speed Shoot, the Alabama State match was this past weekend, and
Yeah, they
man,
had over 300 guns. That was fantastic. You know, kudos
302,
to
yeah.
Carl and the match staff for what they did there. That's a lot of guns to run through, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, it
Because that was
was
just a 3-day event, wasn't it?
I think they may have shot Friday. I'm not sure how many people shot Friday. Maybe just ROs and then full sessions on Saturday morning, afternoon, and then on Sunday. Yeah, no, it was great. Great match staff. Overall, I think the match ran well. They had painters on all the far stages. And you know, Jeff, we've talked about that a thousand times on this podcast. I don't know why all the major matches, at least on the far stages, don't have people to help out paint. And I'm not sure how much money they raised for the 4-H, but they did an exceptional job. So it was a great match at CMP. And I did update my card, so I don't have to get
Yeah, I'll be
my
having
card
to do that
updated.
this year. I'll have to sit through the video again.
Oh, I missed it by 4 or 5 days, Jeff. I thought for sure I was good, but I wasn't. But it was a great match. Saw Brian Connolly with Hunter's HD Gold. They had some great food there. Man, it was a good time. And the other interesting part is the longer that I'm in the sport, the more I see some familiar faces from years gone by. And then boy, there was a lot of new folks, a lot of new folks. And it's kind of cool. You and I have talked about this before. Somebody came up. Well, actually, I had three people that came up to me and introduced myself or introduced themselves to me. And they're like, "Man, this is so weird talking to you because we hear your voice all the time, but don't put necessarily a face with the name or a face with the voice." So that was pretty. It was pretty darn cool. But it was
That's
great to meet
great. Well, you
so
know,
many new shooters.
on the new shooter stuff, Zach Jones related to me a great story. You know, this year was the first year that we did the slot policy for performance-based slots. And he had at least two people email him asking, you know, what does this email mean? And they had won their class at an area match. And, you know, truth be told, these were not GMs or even masters. Okay. And in both those instances, they said, "Really? I earned something to go to the World Speed Shooting Championships?" And they, yes. You know, and Zach explained that this is it's a pre-registration slot. You still have to pay for it. Well, those two shooters, and I'm sure there are more, are coming to the World Speed for the first time this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is
And
awesome.
that, the slot policy, I think, definitely deterred the psychosis. At least it minimized it. We did not sell out the match. It's virtually sold out now. But it wasn't a 12-minute panic for everybody getting signed up. We're pretty, I was very pleased with how it ran and how it worked. And hopefully we're going to continue. If we have to make any refinements for next year, we can do that. But right now it seems pretty solid. So
Yeah,
that'll be
look forward
good.
to it. That's what, 6 weeks away? It's not, it's right around the corner.
Looking at the calendar
Maybe seven
here.
somewhere.
Let's see, 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week, 5 week. Yeah, 6 weeks and 3 days. 29th of May, it starts for ROs on Wednesday.
Week after Memorial Day, right? Yeah, that'd be
Yes,
great.
yes. And I remember there was 1 year where we actually shot on Memorial Day weekend, which gave everybody Monday off to have a travel day where they didn't have to take vacation. And not this year. Well, not for everybody,
Yeah.
because I'm retired, so I don't care.
I love it. I love it.
Least
Cool.
retired from corporate. I'm still putting in a lot of time into the training. It's true. If you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And
Yeah.
my biggest stressful days are when it rains and I can't train because the whack being outdoor covered bays, even though they've got the covering, you still don't want to be there when it's wet. And
Oh
you've
yeah.
been there when it's wet.
I still got some water in one of my ammo cans from a few, what was that, 6 weeks ago or
Oh
so?
yeah.
I
Well,
don't
remember the first year? Woo.
Oh, I do. I do. I remember the little boat.
That was that was I've got a picture of me just waterlogged. So,
That's too funny. That is way too
well,
funny.
speaking of matches, one thing we've been talking about are the upcoming matches. So let me just roll through some of these so people understand what's coming up if you're not aware. Next weekend, Area 3 Steel Challenge Championships.
Sweet.
out in DeSoto, Kansas. So for those out that way, get signed up if you're not. Hopefully that match is gonna be big, and that's great. You know, we just had the Area 4 match last weekend. And so that was great. Following the weekend of April 26th through 28th, we've got the Empire State Steel Challenge Championships. I'm sure we've got a number of people that are shooting that. I believe the Wildies are heavily involved in that match. And then right back at the CMP, Talladega, Alabama, the Eight and the Gate Race to the Worlds, May 5th. They've got a match set up as a prep match for Worlds. And you can head up to Pennsylvania mid-May. That happens to be my birthday weekend. Pennsylvania State Steel Challenge Championships, and I'm sure our good friend Kurt Omensetter is highly involved in getting that set up, and it's going to make that a very successful match. And then there it is, end of May, the Ruger World Speed Shooting Championships presented by Vortex Optics. That's a long one to say.
That is a long one.
But it's great
And
that
then
we've got these companies coming out, and you know, we've had great representation from title sponsors throughout the year, stage sponsors, and just benefactors to the match, and it's appreciated by the shooting community to provide that for us, because without those, you really question whether or not the match is going to happen. So thank you to not only Ruger Vortex, but all the other sponsors for that match. So week after is the Area 5 match, which I think I told you I am going to be shooting this year.
sweet.
Yep, gonna head up after the Worlds and see some family in Illinois, and then swing back down to Indiana and shoot Area 5. And so that's going to be the first week in June. Second week in June, Missouri State Steel Challenge Championships. Who do we know in Missouri? Trying to remember who we know in Missouri. I'm
Man,
sure
once we
there's
get a
somebody.
little bit west from here, don't the Krauses and don't the Krauses live in Missouri?
They may, you know, as we're
Is
talking.
Kylie Wells in Missouri? It's over
So
there somewhere.
absolutely could be. Let's see here. Let's do this. Let's while we're sitting here, we'll go to the registration link and we'll go look at view squatting. Yep, there we go. The Krauses are there. Oh, our good friends Billy and Diane McCoy are going to be shooting that match. So we got them out there. Let's see. Oh, I see Jenna Larson, Robert Van Sinkle's heading out to that match. If I miss anybody, I apologize for missing you, but I'm just kind of whipping down here looking at the squatting. Oh, Bratchers are heading out to there. Shauna Scala. These are all names I know. Looking down here a little further, if there's anybody else. Rick Peeler, I know that name. Yeah, so we got some people we know they're going to be shooting out there. So that looks
That's
like to
cool.
be a pretty good size turnout for that match. It looks pretty full. So that'll
And
be exciting for them.
you know it's the first weekend of June is as well. There's two things special going on the first weekend in June. Number one is my birthday. Thanks for asking. That's on Sunday, June 2nd. Plenty of time. Now that you're retired, Jeff, you got all this disposable income. So, I'll send you a list if
Send
you
me a
need some help.
self-addressed stamped envelope and I'll send you a card.
And then Metal Madness Homecoming is
Oh,
that
yes,
weekend
that's
up in
always a
Kentucky, so I'll be
that was a
shooting that
big
match.
match last year. They had a
Oh
lot
yeah.
of guns shooting that match.
Yeah, it's supposed to be huge this year.
That's
Supposed to
awesome.
be huge. Yeah. So I look forward to it.
All right, and then you know what? We'll just round out July here. Second weekend in July. Actually, there's a couple of different matches. Looks like there won't be any crossover. One of them is the Area 1 Steel Challenge Championships. That's going to be in Montana. And then the Canadian National Steel Challenge Championships are going to be in, all right, Kananaskis, Alberta. I
Yeah,
think I
that
said that
place.
right. So, and then rounding out July, we've got the Area 8 Steel Challenge Championships up in Pennsylvania. So again, lots of matches. If you're interested in where those major matches are listed, you can go to the Steel Challenge Shooting Association under matches, and you'll find them there, along with local matches. And there are a lot of local matches. We are more and more people are shooting steel, and it's just fantastic. I love to see the involvement. And you know, we're still selling out the World Speed. A lot of these matches are getting close to sellouts, if not sellouts. You know, my match. So I held a record in Florida for about, I think it was 6 weeks, a month, maybe a month. I held a record this year in Florida for the biggest match at 271 guns. And the Steel Challenge or the US Steel Nationals came in at 272. So congratulations to them. That's fantastic. I love to have the to see those shooters come, and that match is coming back. You know, that was outside of the World Speed. That was one of the premier matches every year. So we'll see if that can continue to grow and turn into it. They did something interesting this year. Did you see that, Steve?
Is it what I'm thinking, trying to go back to the old days?
They did a little bit of that. Yeah, they did a little bit slightly different. Instead of I think they used to do rimfire on Friday, limited on Saturday, and open on Sunday.
Correct.
This was a little different, where they did rimfire on Friday, Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning was center fire.
Oh,
So
okay.
slightly different. Not sure if their ultimate goal is that or not, but even with that setup, pulling 272 guns, kudos to them. So that's awesome. Let's see, what else can we talk about? There's so much. There's just so much. You know, I was you know, talking about talking with Steve before we turned on the audio about my woes of shooting rimfire pistol iron. And that's exactly what he did. He laughed at me, people. He laughed at me. Can you believe it? No, he was relating that he understands my woes because it is a
Man,
different
it's just
beast.
yeah, back in the day I used to shoot rimfire pistol iron all the time, and I wasn't top three in the world or anything like that, but I've got quite a few plaques out in my shop shooting it. And man, I'm telling you, the competition certainly is stiffer now than what it was back then. But my eyes, man, Jeff, it's crazy. It seems like I just go to the optometrist and 6 weeks later it's like everything's fuzzy again. You know what I mean? It's like, holy cow.
Well, I was relating that I had cataract surgery, and so my left eye is actually stronger than my right eye. But when I was shooting some PCC iron sight, I used to shoot one eye open, and I had Brian make me a set of lenses with a plus one magnification in the right eye. And I actually use those for shooting pistol iron. It actually, you know, my left eye is making the targets clear, and the right eye is making the sight clear. And my problem is I can't decide which one to focus on. And it changes not only between stages, it changes during the string, which is really driving me crazy. I can't decide what to
Nice.
look at. So I got to work that out before Worlds, because I am shooting that gun at Worlds, and that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So I
That
remember the
would
first
be fun.
time I ever shot a rimfire pistol iron in competition, and it was a warm up throwaway at U.S. Steel National way back in 2017, and I didn't like it then. And get this. With an M&P Compact 22.
Wow.
Yep. Needless to say, not a gun that I don't think anybody shoots in this game. A gun that is necessarily meant for this game. And needless to say, I don't even want to talk about where I ended up. That was about smelling the gunpowder.
It was funny the week before last. I got out my rimfire pistol iron gun and I was shooting in on five to go, getting a little practice in. And man, I was struggling to hit plate four, so I was like, you know what? Let me check zero on this thing. So I held still and right on plate four, threw one down range, dead center. I mean, dead center on the target. Like, okay. And then I was like, yeah, maybe I pulled it or something like that. Shot two more. You could cover all three shots with a dime. I was like, well, looks like that's not
Right.
the
I know what it was. It was the nut behind the trigger.
Oh my gosh. It was crazy. It was so funny though, because I stacked three right on top of each other. All looking at each other like, nope, that's not it.
Yep. I think there's probably at least half of our listening audience is going, I've done that. I can relate. I think they can relate to that as well.
I did that today. That's too
Oh, that's
funny.
great.
That's too funny.
So what do you got, what matches you got coming up that you're planning on shooting? You got some locals or anything?
Yeah, I got a local match coming up in a couple weeks over here at South River, and then just getting ready for the World Speed Shoot. I'm not gonna sure if I'm gonna shoot at that 8 at the gate, and then there was actually an NSF match. I'm sorry, Rimfire Challenge Shooting Association, back when we used to call it the NSSF match, over in Alabama coming up. I think that's in 2 weeks, not this upcoming weekend, the weekend after. So that'd be a cool match. I think registration's closed on that one. But yeah, so just going to be practicing here and playing tennis, trying not to get hurt. Dude, it was bad. I was whining to other people about it last weekend.
Did
So I was
anybody
playing
listen?
tennis. No, not really. A couple people like, ooh, that must have hurt. And it still hurts to this day, but I was playing tennis for my tennis team, played two, three nights a week. And man, there was this massive overhead ball, and it just kind of floated on me. So I was backing up, and then at some point in time, my feet stopped going as fast as my upper body went, and so yeah. I took a little tumble, landed right on my right wrist. Oh,
Oh.
that was on Thursday. On Friday, I was like, maybe this isn't bad. So I shot a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's okay. On Saturday, when I went to hold a gun, a pistol wasn't too bad, but holding the AR, I think it's the grip angle. Oh my gosh, yeah, it hurts so bad.
Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, it's feeling a little bit better now, but it's like, man, I thought I was going to have to get an X-ray. My wife's like, stop being so dramatic. But yeah, it
Rub some
definitely.
dirt on it. Get back out there.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. So
Oh,
that's about
that's
all I
great.
got going on. I came back from the Alabama match with some JP5s and a couple other projects that I took apart today that I got to get painted up and sent out. So
Sweet.
busy, busy, busy.
Yeah,
Oh,
we're
and
unfortunately my 6-stage local match. We had our night match last night, but our morning match and my two gun steel has been canceled this month because we've got our big USPSA Doc Welt 12th annual memorial match coming up next weekend. And so we had to that's a pretty important match for the club. So they needed our weekend and graciously said no problem, that match has got to happen. So I'm hoping to probably hit a couple matches I don't normally hit. In fact, I just saw that there's a next weekend there is a Rimfire Challenge match in Orlando supporting the SASP team that Jesse is on.
Oh, sweet.
And so there's an outside chance I might travel up to that one. Maybe head over to Hernando. They run a first of the month. They run a 5-stager, and of course I'll be at the range doing as much as I can there, trying to get as many rounds down range, quality rounds down range.
Sure, sure.
That's something I've learned over the years is quantity does not always matter. It's the quality. And I'll let you in on a little secret with our listeners. This was about 3 weeks ago, and I'm on the multi-purpose bay, and I don't know what stage I was working. For sake of argument, let's just say it was pendulum. And I shoot rimfire pistol optics, and beeper went off. And I didn't hit a single plate. And I knew my dot was on. Didn't have to check the dot. And I literally yelled at myself and said, if you're not going to take this seriously, if you're not going to have the proper form, then just put the gun away and come back another day. Because you're just wasting ammo and time. And if like
Amen.
anybody had been driving by the bay, they would have been like, we need one of those special cars with the suits that tie in the back for this guy on the multi-purpose bay, because he's talking to himself. In fact, he's yelling at himself. So,
Could have been beating yourself.
yeah, well, I'm too old for that. I can't hurt myself anymore. I'm not strong enough.
Did you happen to listen to the Precision Defense podcast last
The
week?
one with Adam Reno, I have not had a chance. It is queued up. It's on my my list of things I need to watch when I have some time in the car to listen to it. But please share something about it.
No, I can't. I can't ruin it for you, Jeff. I
Oh,
think
okay. I gotta listen. All right.
I promise you, when you listen to it, you will laugh out loud.
I'm gonna have to listen to it tonight then.
I
Until there's
think you
two.
do. I think you do. Man, it was good talking with you.
Same here, buddy. You have a great night. Thank you to everybody who listens. And you know what? I'm going to give Steve a break. If you're ordering anything from rangestore.net, please use our discount code STPODCAST10 for 10% off your order. How'd I do, Steve?
Not bad, not bad. We'll get you where you need to be here in the next couple episodes. All
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk to you
it's
later.
good talking with you. We'll see
Bye,
you.
everybody.
Bye.